Good. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. I want to begin with a dua for our brothers and sisters in Florida. Who are going through something difficult. A lot of us have family members there. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them safe. Ya arhamar rahimin, give them your afia. Ya arhamar rahimin, ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Last week, alhamdulillah, we were going after Fath Makkah. And it's truly been a beautiful experience going through the seerah with everyone and looking at these beautiful moments from the life of our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just reflecting on the aspects of his life, connecting to him, and knowing these moments from his life. Someone texted me earlier today, a friend of mine, and he said, Shaykh, sometimes I'm doing dhikr and I'm doing salah ala nabi or I'm doing istighfar, what do I think about? And I told him something that I learned from, I learned this from Mufti Kamani, subhanAllah. He said one time, when you're sending salah ala nabi, when you're sending prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think of your favorite moment from the life of the Rasul. Your favorite moment from the seerah. Everyone in this room has a different favorite moment. They have a different moment that is like their moment. Like, that's my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they connect to that in a different way. And so when you're sending salah ala nabi, and what's amazing is, as we're going through this seerah, as we're going through his life, the idea is to connect to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a deeper level than you've ever connected to him before by understanding who he was. In the ninth year of Hijrah, we're only 2 years away, 2.5 years away from the death of the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the ninth year of Hijrah, when the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returns back to Medina, remember the Ansar, they were actually scared. Is he going to actually now come back to Medina? Now that Fath Makkah has happened, is he going to come back? And he said, I'm with you forever. I'm never going to leave you. You preferred me at a time when no one wanted to be by me. So I'm going to be by you all the time when everyone wants to be by me. I'll be with you forever. That's it. When Rasulullah ﷺ got back, it didn't let up. Things weren't just easy. It wasn't just like, oh, Fath Makkah happened. That's the end of the story. Things are easy. No, there's still struggle. And what happened in the ninth year, the biggest thing that happened in the ninth year of Hijrah was the Battle of Tabuk. And the Battle of Tabuk, it wasn't a battle. A battle didn't even happen. But low-key, the battle was the battle of the nafs. The battle was the battle of the nafs. Because there was no enemy that we faced. Heraclius, the king of the Byzantium Empire, they had just defeated the Persians. And so they thought they were the strongest. And they said, well, this power is arising from the Arabian Peninsula, we should go and just put it out before it becomes a problem. And so they amassed 100,000 soldiers. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he found out, he said to the Sahaba, we have to go. We have to go and handle this. We can't back down. We have to stand up to this. But this was unfathomable for Muslims to be dealing. I heard a scholar say, just imagine the smallest country you can trying to battle with the United States. It's unfathomable. It wasn't possible. And there's always haters amongst us. They saw us moving forward. They saw the victories, but they really didn't believe yet. And they weren't really down for the cause, but they were amongst us. They were with us. They were called the munafiqeen. They were called the hypocrites. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times Umar was like, Ya Rasulullah, can we just like handle them? Like, and the Prophet ﷺ said, no, they're a part of our ummah. They're a part of our ummah. And if someone openly says, La ilaha illallah, they're with us. Even though their actions were clearly against us. So this battle of Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ, it was It was a far battle. We were going to have to go to the extent of Syria. And so it was going to be a long journey. And on top of that, it was the hottest time of the year. It was the hottest time of the year. And the third thing is that the harvest, Medina was a city of agriculture. And the biggest place of their investment was their farms. So it just so happened that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said it's time to go, it was right at the time when it was time to pick the dates off of the trees. You can't leave the dates too long. If you leave them there, they're going to spoil. So we have the idea that we're going to lose everything that we've invested for the whole season. That's our wealth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, well, the Muslim ummah, we have to take care of the ummah. That comes before everything. Everyone get ready. Now, typically, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, typically, he never told the Sahaba where they were going. Because there were spies everywhere. There were people that would say things. So typically, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would keep it low key. But this was an exception. This, he said, we're going to Tabuk to fight the Byzantium Empire. Everyone get ready. So immediately everyone starts getting ready. They get their horse ready. They get their armor ready. They get their stuff ready. You got to make sure everything at home is good. They had to get ready for it. It wasn't like you could just get up and leave. And this became difficult because we ran out of money really quick. In order for us to go, we needed money. We needed to have supplies. We needed to buy goods in order to travel this long journey, have food for the whole journey. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he does one of the first and biggest fundraisers where he gathers everyone in the masjid and he says, everyone, we have to give for this cause. Everyone donate. We have to give for this cause. So everyone starts to leave because you got to go home and, you know, check the bank account, come back. So everyone starts to leave. And the hadith says that the first two people to arrive back at the masjid, just guess. Umar and Abu Bakr. First two to arrive back at the masjid, Umar and Abu Bakr. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he's playing a different game in his head. Umar's playing a different game. Umar's like, today I have more money than I ever had. He said, I had two camels. He's like, I never owned two camels in my life. He says, I have two camels. Wifey is good. House is, I have money and I never had money like this before. So Umar says, okay, I see an opportunity. Opportunity not for dunya, for akhirah. He goes, today's the day I beat Abu Bakr. Today's the day I beat Abu Bakr. And I want to stop here because all of us need people that we can compete with for khair. We're all competing for dunya. You got people you competing with dunya. Keeping up with the Joneses, as we call it. I don't know, y'all don't even know what that is. The youngins don't even know what keeping up with the Joneses mean. Look it up, Google it. Everyone's keeping up. Everyone's competing in the dunya. But we need people that we can be like, low-key, I'm trying to beat Haytham. Low-key, I'm trying to beat Ayman. Low-key, I'm trying to beat Mufti Kamani. Right? We're striving. Because when you surround yourself with people like that, the result is just good. The result is nothing but khair. Because of what the struggle is for. So Umar, he goes, if there's a day that I'm going to beat Abu Bakr, today's the day. So he goes home and he brings what he can. He brings what he can. And when he comes there, him and Abu Bakr arrive, he brings the amount. What's amazing is we don't even know the amount till today. He brings the amount and he lays it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the moment he lays it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ma abaqaita li ahlik. He switches it. This is a fundraiser. We're trying to get as much money as we can. And so we're thinking quantity matters. But for believers, quantity never matters. Quantity never matters. Because the actions aren't counted, they're weighed. And the weight is ikhlas, sincerity. The actions aren't counted. They don't count your deeds on the day of judgment. They're weighed. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, people will come and give mountains of sadaqah, but it will never equal a handful of wheat that one of my companions gave in sadaqah. Why? Because of the ikhlas, the sincerity that was in that action. So he asked Omar, he goes, Omar, you would expect the Prophet to say, how much did you bring? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he switched it. He said, what did you leave at home? Man, I wasn't even expecting that question. That's not what you were supposed to ask me right now. You were supposed to ask me how much I brought, not how much I left. Because when I went home, I was competing with Abu Bakr to bring more, not leave more or leave less. But the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us on a whole nother level. So min janibillah, from Allah, he asked a different question. He says, how much did you leave back? Umar's like, mithlahu. I left equal amount at home. You know, I got family to take care of. They still have to take care of themselves. And I know you taught me to take care of the family. See, I learned that from you, Ya Rasulullah. I learned that from you. You taught me that. So I brought half. Now, before we go forward, half of your assets is no joke. That alone, we would be like, yo, subhanAllah. If the hadith ended there, that's the khutbah. But what happens next? Abu Bakr comes up. And he brings his amount. And the question is the same. Okay, you were competing against each other. And it's amazing because he maybe didn't even know that Omar said, he didn't know that Omar said in his head, I'm going to beat him today. So he asked him the same question. Because if you're going to compete, I got to ask you the same question. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he say? He said, Ya Abu Bakr. It's time for you to school him. How much did you leave at home? He said, his words, أَبَقَيْتُ لَهُمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. I left Allah and the Rasul at home. Now hold up, y'all. He didn't say, I didn't leave anything. Because that's a mentality. That's a perspective. He didn't say, I left nothing at home. In reality, from our perspective, what did he leave at home? Nothing. But he didn't say that. Because their yaqeen was on a different level. And the family's certainty, yaqeen, was on a different level. So the Prophet's like, what did you leave at home? He said, I left Allah and the Rasul. That's what we've been surviving on from till today. My money was never what we lived on. So to me, it's amazing. He didn't say, I left nothing. He said, I left Allah and the Rasul at home. And in that moment, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, Wallahi, I'm never going to race you again. Wallahi, I'm never going to compete against you again. I can't do that. You have a maqam, I have a maqam. But it's amazing that Allah inspired the Prophet to ask a completely different question. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, we need more money. This is a massive army. This is a massive journey. We need more. He says, we need camels. Abdurrahman bin Auf stands up. 100 camels on me. Now, I want someone to do the math. I'm not good at math. Today, a camel is about $4,000. So do the math. He goes, that's easy. I could do that. I know y'all was thinking like, come on, Sheikh. Then the Prophet ﷺ, it's not done. What are we going to do with 100 camels? We got 30,000 soldiers going out. He goes, we need more. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and he stands up, he goes, 100 more. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. But we need more. Third time he stands up, he says, 100 more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like, alhamdulillah. We need more. Uthman gets up. He goes home. And he brings gold in his jubba. Like this. He brings gold in his jubba like this. And it's so heavy, he could barely hold it. By the time he gets in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it falls in front of the Prophet, just in his lap. It falls in front of the, they say it was 1,000 dinar. 1,000 dinar. This man gave about $1 million, y'all. He gave about $1 million in that moment. In that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that we need to reflect on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma dharra ibn Affan ma amila ba'd al-yawm." Whatever he does after today can't affect him negatively. What that means to me is that it only takes one moment in your life to gain Jannah. And you don't know when that moment is. For many of us, we're like, man, I got to do like 35 years of grinding. No, you need one moment that Allah accepts from you. That's all you need. So every single moment, you know, they say like opportunity cost, the potential. Every moment of your life has Jannah potential. Every moment. There was, subhanAllah, the story, there was a story that the Prophet ﷺ told us of a woman from a previous generation. And this woman had lived a life of sin, like sin. She was out there. But one day she saw, y'all know the hadith, she saw a dog that was thirsty. And she thought, like I know what that feels like. And so she climbs down into a well and she, with her shoe, she fills it with water and she puts the shoe in her mouth and she climbs back up. Now, mind you, this is a woman that's lived a profligate life, a sinful life. But in that moment, she gained Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah loved that deed so much. Whatever she did, it didn't even matter. Like past and future, it doesn't even matter. The Prophet ﷺ said about Uthman, it doesn't matter what he does after today. How many moments do we have in our life where we could be like, maybe this is that moment that I gained my Jannah forever. Maybe this is that moment right here. In another hadith I'll share with you, which always hits me, because a lot of us are very loose with our tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-'abd la yatakallamu bi kalima min ridwanillah." Like a person will say a word that pleases God. La yulqi laha bal. And the person doesn't even think about it. Doesn't even think about it. I wonder if the woman that fed that dog even remembered that deed. I wonder if she remembered, like, yo, like 40 years ago, that well. Or was it just like, no, I need to help someone. I need to help one of God's creation. So, la yulqi laha bal. You don't even think about it. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا darajat. This person is elevated ranks into Jannah. But the potential is double-sided, y'all. The Prophet ﷺ said, but then there's a person that speaks a word that displeases Allah. La yulqi laha bal. The person doesn't even think about it. Doesn't even think about it. And ends up into the depths of Jahannam because of that one word that they said. So at this moment, Uthman gained his Jannah in this moment. And after that, there was nothing. Abdurrahman bin Auf. I mean, he's wealthy. Abdurrahman bin Auf brings 8,000 dirham, silver coins, 8,000 of them. Do you know what's crazy? I told you there were munafiqeen, there were hypocrites, there were haters. They did not believe that we should be going out or could win this battle. They did not believe in the message truly. They were with us. What do people that don't believe, you know, I use the term, I was teaching Sira upstairs. Y'all know when you silent quit at a job, yo? And you stop caring about the job, printing all that printer paper, just leaving the lights on. You know, when you silent quit, you don't even care about the mission. The mission statement, Becky and HR, I don't care about none of y'all. The munafiqeen, they didn't care about the mission. They didn't believe in it. So they low-key silent quit. They showed up. But low-key, they're like, you know, I was thinking about quitting. You know how they be talking to you, trying to get you to quit too? And you're like, bro, I love my job, bro. I'm happy here, yo. So subhanAllah, what would they do? Abdurrahman bin Auf, he brings 8,000 dirham. And what do they say when they see him? They're look at him showing off. Look at him showing off. There was another companion by the name of Abu Aqil. He heard the Prophet say, we need money, but he was broke. He had no money. He like this right here is for everyone that's ever sat through a fundraiser and had nothing to give. Wallahi, we all know what that's like. Everybody like, 3,000. You like, dang. Right? And you got like 300, but you like, I'm just gonna fill out the card. Because I'm not going to raise my hand for the 300. Abu Aqil is for everyone that ever felt like the fundraiser was going on and you had nothing to give. Abu Waqil hears it, and he sees Abu Bakr come. He sees Umar. He sees Uthman. He sees everybody coming. So he goes home. He works the whole night for somebody on their farm. The whole night he works on a farm. And they pay him 2 pounds a date. So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with 1 pound. The Prophet asked him, he said, tell me your story. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I worked all night. And I made 2 pounds. I left 1 pound for my family. And I brought this pound for you, for the deen. The Prophet said, put it with everything else. We need all of it. But when the munafiqeen saw that, and you're going to have people in your life like this. When the munafiqeen saw that, what did they say? Their exact words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu ghaniyun an hadhihi. Allah doesn't need this man's dates. So when Uthman gave, when Abu Abdurrahman gave, what did they say? Look at him showing off. And when Abu Aqil gave, they said, well, Allah doesn't need that. Which is it? The idea is people will never be pleased. Focus on Allah, not focus on pleasing people. Focus your intention only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone's trying to go for this battle and get ready. We only have a few days to get ready. The Prophet said, get ready right now. Everyone's gathering money. Everyone's getting ready. There were 7 people. They're called the Bakka'een, the ones who cried. Because they didn't have enough money for themselves to go. They didn't have enough for them to go. And I want you to understand, like, this, what's happening here. The Prophet ﷺ is about to go out, and it's going to be very difficult. And while some people want to go and some people are sacrificing, there's others that don't want to go. They don't want to go because they don't believe in the mission. I told you, they silent quit already. They don't believe in the mission. Before I talk about the Bakka'een, let me talk about someone else. Al-Jad bin Qais. Jad bin Qais was one of the munafiqeen at the time. And so the Prophet ﷺ walks up to him while everyone's getting ready. And he says, Jad, you ready? We about to go. It's about to go down. You ready? You getting ready? And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, I wanted to talk to you about this. Now, before I go forward, you have to understand how beautiful Rasulullah ﷺ was. Everyone felt comfortable talking to him because he accepted whatever you said. But those who were close to him knew what his heart truly loved. But everyone felt like you could talk to him. So as I tell you this story, we would think like, how dare you say that to Rasul? But you have to understand how approachable Rasulullah ﷺ was. How approachable Rasulullah ﷺ was. So Jad bin Qais, he goes, yeah, about that, I wanted to talk to you. He goes, and the Quran tells us, لا تفتني على في الفتنة سقطوا. Allah speaks about this person. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, I don't think I should go. Huh? Yeah, I don't think it's good for me to go. He goes, why? He goes, there's a lot of youngers in the group today. It's all good. He goes, Bani Asfar, you know the Romans? They're very attractive people. I'm dead serious. These are his words, y'all. He goes, they're very attractive. I might get into fitna if I go. Subhanallah. If you don't want to go, don't go. But don't use piety as an excuse to avoid struggling for the deen. Don't use righteousness to refuse to go for the sake of the deen. He goes, he uses the word fitna. La taftinni. I'll be in fitna. It's better if I stay back. Rasul Sa'islam's like, yes, it's better if you stay back. That's his nature, though. He's not going to force you to come. If you're not down, you're not down. You're dead weight. So Rasulullah Sa'islam's like, yeah, you should stay. You should stay. And then verses of Quran were revealed. Ala fil fitnati saqatu. This man has fallen into fitna. What strikes me is how sometimes we use our piety as an excuse for the deen. No, if I go to that, you know, nah, this is better for me in the deen and the akhirah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So once Jed got an excuse, all of the munafiqeen, they start coming. My mother is really sick. Oh, I got to do this. They all start coming one after the next, asking, Ya Rasulullah, can I stay back? Can I stay back? And every one of them that would come, he would be like, stay. Stay, stay. Now, with that said, let me explain these seven sincere believers. seven sincere believers, they come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have it to go. We don't have the money to go. And the Prophet had already distributed everything. Everything Uthman brought, everything Abdurrahman brought, everything everyone brought, it was distributed already. And so they walk in, and here is this person that would literally give you the shirt off his back. Literally give you everything that he has. And he has to look these seven men in the eyes. And he has to say to them, and it's in the Quran, La ajidu ma ahmilukum alay. He has to say, I don't have it to give you. Tawallo, the Quran says, Tawallo wa a'yunahum tafidhu min ad-dam. They turn around and they're weeping. Can you imagine the dichotomy? Some people are saying, I don't want to go because it's fitna. And here we have sincere believers weeping because they don't have the means to go and struggle for the deen. Imagine that. Two of them were walking out the masjid and they're weeping. So one of the sahaba sees him. He's like, yo, what's wrong? He's like, I don't have money and he can't give it to me. Two of them, one sahabi goes, I got you. Here's what you need. Here's enough for a horse. Go get this. You could come with us. But not everyone had that. One of them, he has nothing. So he goes back to his house and he prays salah. He prays two rakats and his heart is broken because he can't go with them. And he's praying salah, and at the end of the salah, he says, Ya Allah, I give as charity. I hope we can understand this. He says, Oh Allah, I give as sadaqah. Every time someone oppressed me, every time someone wronged me, every time someone did hurt my honor, I give that as sadaqah to the entire ummah. Wait, hold on. People are giving sadaqah of money. He's giving sadaqah of qiyamah currency. Yo, you feel like, yo, when you get backbit, that's cash on Yawm al-Qiyamah. When you get harmed by someone, that's cash on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He says, I don't have anything in this dunya, so here I go. Ya Allah, give as charity to the whole Muslim ummah whatever wrong has ever been done to me. He goes to sleep. He wakes up in the morning, comes for Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ says, where's the guy that gave sadaqah last night? He's thinking literal sadaqah. Rasulullah is like, you, Allah has accepted your sadaqah. Allah has accepted your sadaqah. I don't have anything of this world to give. I'm thinking on the next level. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sets out with 30,000 soldiers. Everyone had to go, but this was a different battle. There was no diwan. There was no register. Typically for these battles, they kept like records of who went. But this was everyone come, so there was no register. So the munafiqeen could just lay back, stay in the house while everyone's leaving. And that's what they did. There were about 70 to 80 munafiqeen who didn't go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they leave. And they make their way all the way up to Tabuk. And as I told you from the beginning, a battle never happened. When the Prophet got to Tabuk, he stopped there. This is where they were supposed to be. We'll wait here. They stayed there for 20 days. And in the meantime, the Prophet ﷺ sent a letter to Hiraqal. And he sent Dihya al-Kalabi. Dihya al-Kalabi was the very handsome, everybody remembers him. He was the very handsome Sahabi, right? So he sent him with the letter. Hiraqal got the letter. Hiraqal in his heart knew this was a Prophet of Allah. So he gathers all of his courtiers, all of his generals, and he says, I have this letter. If this man is who he's supposed to be, his kingdom will be on the land we're sitting at. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. If he's who he says he is, and I think he is, why don't we enter into his deen? The whole masjid goes crazy. The whole room goes crazy. This happens twice. This is the second time. He goes, chill, everyone. I was testing you. I was testing you to see if you were true. He sends somebody with a letter back. But the letter he sends back, he tells this person. And this person becomes Muslim later. The letter said, when you go to him, talk to him, but look for a seal of prophethood on his back. This man was a Christian Arab. He's talking. He comes with the letter. He He's in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's doing small talk. The Prophet's like, come, look. And the Prophet lowers his garment so his back was showing. And he saw the seal of prophethood right on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tells us this story because he was the one with the letter, and of course he became Muslim later. Hiraqal never sends an army. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns back and begins to head back. And while we're on the way back, a few things happen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for certain people that didn't show up. And we get back. And when we get back, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah, he would go straight to the masjid when he got back. This is a beautiful sunnah, by the way. Whenever he would come back from a journey, he wouldn't go home first. He would go straight to the masjid. He would pray 2 rak'ah. And he would sit there for a moment, and then he would go home. So as they're coming back into Medina, all of the children come out to welcome the army. Now, this is a spoiler here. I hate to say it. So some of y'all heard, y'all know this, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyatul wada, right? Y'all know that joint, right? Someone want to sing it for us? No? Okay. Tala al-Badru alayna, we all know that. When is that typically, when do y'all know that was said in the seerah? When did that happen? Hijrah, right? Nah, most likely it happened at Tabuk. When they were coming back. And the reason why, real quick factual stuff. When the Prophet was doing hijrah, Mecca is south of Medina. So when he did hijrah, he came to the north and entered Mecca from the south. Thaniyatul Wada is in the north of Medina. So the scholars, they say that the children came out to welcome the army. And they started to sing, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyatul Wada, because they were coming down from the north and entering into Medina. And so they're all welcoming the Prophet. Everyone is happy. They're coming back in. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits down into the masjid. And now what happens? All of those people that did not come, they all start coming and asking for forgiveness. All of them, one by one. Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry I couldn't make it. Ask Allah to forgive me. The Prophet, he had one phrase. May Allah forgive you, barakallah. May Allah forgive you, go ahead. May Allah forgive you, go ahead. But there were some people who were sincere Muslims, and they struggle with what me and you struggle with today, procrastination. And this is where the story of Ka'b bin Malik comes in. Ka'b bin Malik, this is a sincere believer. And I'm gonna spend the rest of Halakha talking about him because it's such a powerful story. Ka'b bin Malik, he's an OG. He was at Badr. He was everywhere where you were supposed to be. He was at every major moment. And he says, these are his words. He's telling us this story. He says that, I had been in every battle that I was supposed to. I never stayed back from a battle. And I had never been more wealthy than I was at the time that he told us to get ready. He said, I never owned 2 camels. I had 2 camels at the time. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never went on a journey except he told us we were going another way, but we went a different way. But this journey, he told us exactly where we were going. He says, but this was hard because it was extremely hot, shadid. And the journey was far. Meaning if you don't believe in this journey, this message, you're not gonna put yourself through this hardship. You're not gonna grind for the deen if you don't truly believe in it. So it was hot, the journey was far, and the enemy was massive. The enemy was massive. And he says, on top of that, it was time to pick all of the dates off the tree. And that's the time to enjoy, reap what you sow. It's the time to literally enjoy the farming that you did all year. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told everyone to get ready. And he told them where we were going. There were thousands of people getting ready. But there was no register. The names weren't taken because there were too many of us. He says, because there were so many, anyone who wanted to hide, they could hide. And no one would know. But this was during the time when things were ripe. It wasn't the time. No one that didn't believe would have went. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started getting ready. And all the believers started getting ready. He says, every morning I would start to get ready. I would say to myself in the morning, today I'm gonna get my stuff ready. But that by the time I got home in the evening, I would not have done any preparation to go. And I would say, tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. He says, فَأَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي. I would say to myself, أَنَا قَادِرٌ. I could do it. He says, I kept on delaying until I woke up one morning and they were like, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and everyone just left. Now, this is an army of 30,000 people. It moves slow. So the army left. And he says, I wasn't ready, but I have a fast horse. I can get ready in like half a day and I'll catch up to them. So I said to myself, I'll get ready and I'll leave and I'll catch up to them. I'll be right behind them. I'll catch them. It's easy. They're a huge army. I'm by myself. وَحَمَمْتُ. I was like, I was going to go. And he says, but I didn't leave. And he says, I wish I had left in that moment. I wish I had left. I want to pause here to tell you about another companion. Abu Khaythama. Real quick digression. Abu Khaythama had said to himself, I'm not going. I can't. This is too hot. It's too far. I can lay low key. I'm not going to struggle. The Prophet left. He's walking into his orchard. And his wife had cooked amazing food. The trees were giving shade. I mean, just picture the scene. If you ever seen an orchard in Medina, it's like 30 degrees lower than it is outside the orchard. There was cool water. He sees everything. He gets to the door frame of his orchard and he stops and looks at it. And he goes, oh my God, how dare I walk in here and the Prophet is in the heat. He doesn't move. He says, wifey, get my stuff ready. I gotta go. I gotta leave right now. And he leaves. He gets on his horse and he just goes after. They had already went far. So they see this lone rider coming in the sarab, like in the desert lines of the heat. They see someone coming from a distance. The Prophet says, Kun Aba Haytham. From a mile away, they see this small figure coming. They're like, who's that? The Prophet says, Kun Aba Haytham. That's going to be Abu Haytham, Abu Khaythama. And they get close and it's him. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, forgive me. Forgive me. And the Prophet's like, good thing you came. Good thing you came. Because you got to understand, hardships are what distinguish the real from the fake. That's why I said this battle wasn't a battle against the enemy. It was a battle against the enemy of the self. Do you truly believe? So he says, I wish I left in that moment. He says, فَلَمْ أَخْدِرْ. I didn't do it. I just kept procrastinating. I didn't do it. He says, I would go out into the streets of Medina. Just imagine the streets. 30,000 of the men have left. Imagine what the streets are like now. And I would see people. Only people I saw were people I knew were munafiqs. I knew they didn't truly believe. And that's all I would see around. And he's thinking, why am I still here? Or people that Allah had, Rasul had given them an excuse. They were older, they were weaker, they were this or that. And he says, I found out later that when the Prophet reached Tabuk, he looked around, 30,000 people, he looked around. He says, where's Kaaba? One thing that's so beautiful about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and wallahi, it's a quality that you should beg Allah to give you. He would miss people when they were absent. He would think, where's such and such? Where you were always in his mind, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, I heard that the Prophet was on his way back. So I said, what's the point in me leaving now? He's on his way back. I procrastinate. Now he's on his way back. What should I do? So he's like, I was worried. And he said, I was a good speaker though. And he said, I could make excuses so easy. فَأَتَذَكَّرُ الْكَذِبِ. I came up with all these lies I could say. And he said, أَقُولُ بِمَا أَخْرُجُ مِنْ سَخَتِهِ غَدًا. How could I make him not angry with me? And he says, I sought help from my family. What should I say? Finally, they said, he's back. And he said, I had to go see him. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ فِيهِ كَذِبٍ. He says, I know I couldn't lie to him. So I made up my mind, I'm going to just speak the truth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back. He came to the masjid. He prayed two raka'ah and he sat down. And all of those who had excuses came. The Arabs, they say the excuse is worse than the first wrong you did. Don't give me excuses. The excuse is worse than the first wrong you did. Allahu Akbar. So what does he do? All of them start coming. And they would come and they would say, Ya Rasulullah, forgive us. And the Prophet would say, Yaghfir Allahu lak. May Allah forgive you. He says, finally, it was my turn. He says, I came close. Listen to these words. Tabassama tabassum al-maghdabi. He smiled, but it was a smile of anger at me. I'll never forget it. He smiled, but he was angry. Because I expect that from them, but from you. I expect that from them, but you. You're Cobb. You were with us. You. So he says, I sat in front of him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma khalafaka? What left you back? And look what he says. He says, inni wallahi, if I sat in front of anyone else from this dunya, I could get out of it through my speech. Walakin, but I know, wallahi, by God, that whatever I say to you today, if it's a lie, you may show happiness with me, but the truth will come out eventually. But if I speak the truth, I know you'll be angry. I want Allah to forgive me for what I did. And he goes, wallahi ma kana li min udhr. I have no excuse. No excuse. He didn't present the whole case. Every day I thought about it. He just said, I have no excuse. Wallahi ma kuntu qattu aqwa. He said, I never had more money and it was never easier. I have no excuse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa looked at everyone. He says, amma hadha fa sadaqa. This man speaking the truth. Now, what did he say to the munafiqeen? May Allah forgive you. What did he say to him? He said, may Allah decide in your case. May Allah decide. May Allah decide. Please, time to leave. Go. A little while later, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave an order. Oh, before that, Cobb says, I left the masjid and all of my family, they start surrounding me. What did he say? What did you say? What did he say? And he said, I told him the truth. They said, no. No. Go back. Make an excuse, just go back. He'll forgive you, just go back. And he said, they kept on me. The peer pressure, subhanAllah. You make a decision for Allah, and unfortunately, sometimes the closest people to you aren't giving you the best advice. And so they're like, no, just go back and make an excuse. He'll accept any excuse. That's how he was. You know, subhanAllah, I put this in my second book, Kul Huwa Udhun. They used to call him, the munafiqeen, they used to call him an udhun. You know what udhun is in Arabic? An ear. They said, Kul huwa udhun. He's a udhun. Why? Because he would listen to people so much. He would listen to you, even when you're just saying anything. So they said, just go back and tell him anything. He stopped. He said, is there anyone going through what I'm going through? Like, is there any other person that told the truth? They said, yeah, there's two other people. There's two other people. Hilal and... No, Murrah. This is Kab, Murrah, and Hilal. He says, Hilal and Murrah. He goes, oh, those are Badris. Those are good people. They told the truth too? I'm sticking on what I said. Moments later, the word is given. The Prophet ﷺ says, for 40 days, no one speak to them. 40 days? One of my teachers, he used to narrate this. He said, we couldn't handle this today. We would have went straight up to Heracles like, yo. Like, no one can speak to you for 40 days. That's it. He says, Kaab says, he says, وَنَحَا رَسُولُ صَلَىٰهِ سَلَىٰهِ مُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ كَلَامِنَا. No one could speak to us for the next 50 days. And he says, the two others that were there, they were old. They sat in their house. They would just cry. He was like, I was young, though. So I would walk around, and I would walk around, and people would just literally walk past me. Because of what I did. I was treacherous to the believers when we were going to battle. I let the Prophet go through heat by himself while I sat at home. I stayed back when I should have gone out. They would just walk past me. And he says, Dhaqat alayya al-ard. The earth just became so small. The earth became so small around me. He says, I would give salam, because he would test people, salam alaikum. No salam. They wouldn't say salam back to me. He said, I would still go to salah. I would go to salah because I could see the Prophet and maybe like revelation is going to come and I'm going to be good. And he said, I would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying. And while he was praying, I would look at him. You know what I mean? He's like, I would just look at him. And then when he would finish praying, he wouldn't look at me. But then when I started praying, he would just look at me. Like, I love you, but this has training. You got to get cleaned. You got to get cleaned. This is wrong. What you did is wrong. He says, after 40 days, no, he goes, I was feeling alone. There was no one that would talk to me. And this is kind of like the peak of it. He goes, I went on to a garden wall of my cousin, Abu Qatada. That was my cousin. We were literally cousins. And I loved him. We were so tight before this day. Fasallamtu alayh. I said, Salaamu alaykum, cuz. Fawallahi ma radda alayhi salam. He didn't say salam. So I said to him, Ya Abu Qatada, I swear by Allah, don't you know that I love Allah, I love the Rasul? That's his concern. Don't you know I love Allah, I love the Rasul? He stayed quiet. I said it again. I said, swear by Allah, you know I love Allah, I love the Rasul. All he said, not even looking at me, Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam. Allah and the Rasul know best. He said, I broke down. I cried. I wept. He's like, I was walking through Medina. I was by myself. All of a sudden, there's this foreign Arab from the northern part, like from Syria, who's walking around. And he's yelling out in the streets, where's Ka'b bin Malik? Where's Ka'b bin Malik? And everyone's pointing at me. There he is. So he's from Sham. Why is this man from Sham coming to see me? Mimman qadima bita'am. He had come as a farmer. Where's Ka'b bin Malik? Can someone tell me where he is? Everyone points at me. There he is. He's right there. And he comes over to me. And he gives me a letter from the king of Ghassan, Christian king of Ghassan. And the letter, Ka'b opens it. He was literate. He could read. And it says, Amma Abad. The letter from the people who are just fighting against the Rasul has come to Ka'b. And the letter says, Amma Abad. We've heard what he's doing to you. You're a man of honor. You shouldn't be treated like that. Come join us. You know what Ka'b says? He says, this was worse than everything. When the enemies have hope in me, the enemies have hope in me. He took the letter. He threw it in. There was a fire bright. He threw it into the fire right there. I've reached that level that the kuffar think like I'm just going to be with them. No. How bad is this going to be after 40 days? The word was given, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, tell Ka'b and the two of them, they have to be by themselves now. They have to move out of their homes and be away from their families. Ka'b does what he's supposed to do. It was extremely difficult. Ka'b says, 10 more days passed. It was the 50th day. And I want you to listen to what happened. No one spoke to us for 50 days. This social society, this society that's so intermingled, they see each other for 5 prayers a day. They're always around each other. The whole of Medina was the size of Masjid Nabawi. He says, I was sitting on my porch. You know those flat porches with the roof, right? He's like, I'm sitting on my porch. Salatu Salat al-Fajr. He prayed Salat al-Fajr at home that day, right? He says, Wa ana ala dhahri bayti. I'm sitting on the roof of my house. I just prayed Fajr. And I'm sitting there, I'm doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, when is this going to get easy for me? Dhaqat alayya sadri. My nafs was, I felt so small. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice scream out from the direction of the masjid. The a'la sawt. Ya Ka'b, abashir. Echoing off the mountains. Ya Ka'b, abashir. Oh, Ka'b, good news. He's on the roof of his house. He hears this echoing to him. He says, fakharartu sajid. I just fell in sajda. And I knew the opening had come for me. He says, I didn't know it, but the Prophet ﷺ had announced after that verses were revealed about my tawbah. فَذَهَبَ النَّاسِ. People leave the masjid running to me. to give me good news. The Arabs were amazing. They want to be the first to give you the good news. So they're racing each other to be the first to tell him, you've been forgiven. The verses were revealed about you. Quran has been revealed that your Tawbah has been accepted. But he goes, فَكَانَ سَوْتْ أَسْرَى. People were running. People were on horses. People were all trying to get to me for my happy day. And he goes, but the guy who yelled, I heard him first. So all these people came, but when that guy came, he said, I took off my thobe and I gave it to him. I didn't have anything. He said, I took off my thobe, right? And I gave it to him. And then I actually borrowed something from someone else. Can I borrow your thobe real quick? I got to go see the prophet. Wallahi, that's what it says. He said, I gave some of my thobe and then I borrowed one from somebody. Subhanallah. Naza'atu alahu thobi. I took it. And I didn't have anything else. وَاسْتَعَرْتُ ثَوْبَيْن. I asked someone to borrow two more. He goes, فَانْتَلَقْتُ. I'm trying to get to the love of my life, Rasulullah. I'm trying to get to him. People are stopping me. Congratulations. I want to see Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone's saying, congratulations, congratulations. I entered the masjid. Walks in. And he says, the Prophet ﷺ is sitting down and there's a halaqa around him. After Fajr halaqa with Rasulullah. Oof. Can you imagine that? It's Allahu Akbar. After Fajr halaqa, they're sitting around Rasulullah ﷺ after Fajr. He says, I walk into the masjid and Talha bin Ubaidullah, he stands up from the majlis and he ran to me shaking my hand. But I want you to hear what he says. He says, wallahi, 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 I will never forget this man for standing up to meet me that day. I'll never forget how he stood up and came over to me. He was with the Prophet. He stood up and came over. No one else moved. It's the halaqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You walk in, you're like, all right, come sit down, bro. Like, no, seriously. But Talha bin Ubaidullah, he stands up. And he says his words, he says, وَلَا أَنْسَاهَا لِتَلْهَا. I'll never forget Talha. You never know the small gestures that people will never forget you did for them, yo. The smallest gesture, someone walked in the masjid, you scooted over, you were like, hey, this room here. And that person was having the worst day. They feel like they don't even want to be here. They don't deserve to be here. You moved over. Talha got up, he went and shook his hand. And Ka'ab says, I will never ever forget that day he stood up and came and shook my hand. Qala Ka'ab, he says, فَلَمَّا سَلَّمْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He says, I went over and I said, سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. قَال وَهُوَ يَبْرُقْ وَجْهُ مِنَ السُّرُورِ. His face was shining with happiness. And he says, أَبْشِرْ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ مَرَّ عَلَيْكَ مُنْدُ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Glad tidings of the best day of your life since you were born. Because his tawbah is accepted. That means everything from the past is gone. I'm new. I'm new. I have no sins. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abshir. And his face is shining. And he says, Qultu. He says, Amin indika ya Rasulullah aw min Allah. He says, is this from you or from Allah? He says, no, the Quran was revealed. This is from Allah. This is from Allah. It's not from me. La bal min indillah. Wakana, look what he says. Wakana Rasulullah idha surra, when he got happy, istanarra wajhahu. Istanarra wajhahu. His face would light up. And he says it was just like the moon. Like it looked like the moon. Wakunna narif dalik. We could tell whenever he was happy, his face. Fajalastu bayna yaday. I sat in front of him. I said, Ya Rasulullah, part of my tawbah is that I give all of my money in charity. The Prophet ﷺ said, keep your money. Keep your money. We don't want that to happen right now. Keep all your money. He goes, no, just part of what I got from this battle, I'll give that. And the Prophet accepted it. The Prophet ﷺ accepted it. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah. And this is what we need to understand for us, and we'll conclude. He said, Inna Allaha inna ma najani bis-sidiq. Allah saved me because I spoke the truth. وَإِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَتِي, and part of my tawbah is that I will never ever speak anything but the truth from this moment in my life. He goes, wallahi, I don't know anyone that was tried the way I was tried. for speaking the truth. ذَكَرْتُ ذَٰلِكَ لِرَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Wallahi, after that day, Alhamdulillah, till today, I've never ever spoken a lie. He says, it was the truth that Allah protected me with. This battle of Tabuk, brothers and sisters, was a battle in which we faced no enemy. But we learned that the biggest enemy and truly is our own nafs. Our desire for ease, our desire for comfort, our desire to avoid struggle for the sake of Allah, that is our biggest jihad. That is the biggest thing we have to fight. And that is the lesson that we learned from here. It is in this battle when the Prophet ﷺ was coming back and he said, رَجَوْنَا مِنْ جِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَى جِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We have left the smaller jihad and we're going to the bigger jihad. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what's bigger than this? He said, the jihad with you and your nafs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people of truthfulness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be a people who vie with other people for doing good deeds and righteous deeds. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.